Let us pray. Give us, O God, the courage to turn in faith to you in any moment, at any time, when we need your help, your guidance, your strength, your courage. Encourage us to welcome your Spirit into our very being, to the point where praise pours from our lips wherever we are. Guide us through the story of Hannah, a story of faith, and inspire us to strengthen our own faith in these times of stress and strain. We ask this in the strong name of Christ, one who was born to guide us through darkness and into light. Amen. So, it's a week after Thanksgiving. It's still 2 weeks to Halloween. It seems like the right time to mention that we are less than 10 weeks from Christmas. 10 weeks from Christmas Day. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not going to mention it again until after Remembrance Day, but today's reading really got me thinking about the season of Advent, about the story of Mary and the faith that she had. Of course, I'm reminded of Mary because of Hannah. Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah. He loved her very much, and she loved him. Hannah could not have children. Elkanah didn't love her any less, and indeed loved her more than his other wife, Peninnah. But Hannah wanted to have a child so badly, and not just because Peninnah would mock Hannah, bully her because she was unable to have children. In fact, Hannah did not even want to bear a child so that she could raise or love them herself. That is where we find Hannah today. Broken from the pokes and prods from Peninnah on the steps of the temple praying, she begs God for a child, not for herself, but that the child may be a gift to God. A Nazarite abstaining from drink and following a life of devotion. Interesting piece of information, there are only two known Nazarites mentioned in the Bible, and of those who abstain from drinking wine, one is Samson. Does anybody know who Samson was? Strong man! Strong man with luxurious hair, didn't drink wine. The other was Samuel. Prophet, who was born in answer to the prayers of Hannah. The true irony of this prayer that she offered and the life her miracle child would lead is that as she is offering this prayer, deep in her faith, in her connection with God, another prophet sees her and misreads the situation altogether. While she prays, her lips move, but no sound comes out. Not enough, at least, to give the prophet Eli enough information about what's happening. He accuses her of being drunk on the temple steps, tries at first to chase her away. But before he can, she tells him her story and offers these words as a powerful turnaround on Eli's accusations. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Pouring out my soul before the Lord. She's pouring out her grief, pouring out her pain, her longing to God, seeking to be filled by that spirit of hope, healing, and care. From her encounter on the steps with the prophet Eli and the encounter that she had with the holy, we follow Hannah's story from grief to joy. Not long after this, her prayers are answered. She bears a son and names him Samuel. What follows is another reason why I thought of Mary, the story of Mary, Mother of Christ. Filled with joy in her faith, Hannah sings to the Lord. What she sings is truncated. There's a lot more that she actually sings, but reading through it, one can draw many parallels with another song of faith. When Mary got the news from the angel that she would bear the Son of God, she too, full of the Spirit, burst into a song of praise. In both of these bursting forth in praise, the women foresee a better world because of their sons. They see a world turned on its head. Hannah sings, "Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. Those who were hungry are fat with spoil. So those who had everything have nothing, and those who had nothing live in abundance." Mary's words in the Magnificat are eerily similar when she sings, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Both women have seen or have lived lives of marginalization, and drunk on the Spirit, see visions of a world turned on its head, where those once destitute live in abundance, where those shunted to the edges of society find their place at the center. I use the term drunk on the Spirit intentionally here because these two women are so full of the Spirit. They embody the Spirit so fully that they glimpse the world beyond what is and are able to share a portion of what might be. Like seeing double after too many spirits, these women see what is possible in place of what is. But this is not a state reserved only for women who become pregnant unexpectedly. You've seen it too. Whether it's because of some life-changing event or because you have encountered the holy in the ordinary, you've probably gotten a hint of what both Hannah and Mary have glimpsed, a world turned on its head. God breaks into our lives and shows us what's possible, if only we follow. More than that, more than what might be in some far-off time, God often reveals to us in small ways hints of our own impact, what we can do to be a part of the change needed in the world. The problem is that, like Hannah, we let our feelings of inadequacy fool us into thinking that we don't have it in us. Like Mary, we let our feelings of unworthiness trick us into thinking that we aren't good enough for what God is calling us to. Unlike us, those women broke through those feelings, saw the path that God laid at their feet and walked it boldly, saw the future ahead and proclaimed it in song. We hold ourselves back from bursting forth into song, and not just because of COVID-19 restrictions. We hold ourselves back from allowing the Spirit to fill us so completely that we cannot help but lift our voices in unrestricted, unashamed praise. We hold back from getting drunk on the Spirit because if we allow ourselves to be so filled, we fear that we might ourselves be consumed, that we might lose control or be seen to lose control. And giving ourselves over so fully does mean there will be a loss of control. Because following the movements of the Spirit means we often end up in places we do not expect, situations we do not want to be in. And yet God has gifted us in such a way, and the Spirit has led us down such a path that we end up where we need to be, where our gifts can be put to good use, where we can start to glimpse that future that both Hannah and Mary sang about, a future that we can have a hand in shaping. We just have to be open to it, open to the Spirit and all that it has in store for us. We have to allow ourselves to be part of something that we are not ready for, part of something that we have prayed for but never expected to come to pass. We have to be open to losing control, letting the Holy Spirit take over and take us, take the church to places we might be afraid of, but might also flourish in. We need to get drunk on the Spirit. We need to let it flow through our veins and into the heart of us, a part of us, more than a guide, more than a partner. So as you go from this place today, as you reflect on the stories of Hannah and Mary, remember that God is just waiting to work through you, to reach through you, and to bring loving, caring change to this world with your help. All that's needed is for you to be open to it. Open yourselves to the holy and see the creative potential that you have within you. Open yourself to the Spirit and see where in this world you can reflect God's love. Open yourself to the Spirit and see what's possible. Amen.